Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Thursday, February the 5th, in the year of our Lord 2026. I am Andrew Forrest, and this is your wake-up call. And this, by the way, is a lot harder than it looks. J.D. Walt, who's our normal host for these wake-up calls, makes it look so easy every day. But it is not easy. I felt as if the first few days I was figuring out how to do this. I want to be warm, but also polished. Say something helpful, but also relatively brief. Stick to the usual format, but also make it my own. All this to say, thank you for sticking with me and giving me a chance. I'm the senior pastor of Asbury Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the author of the new book, Love Goes First, which is about what we need to do if we are going to reach the people who don't think like us, vote like us, maybe even who hate us. I was with JD over the weekend at a conference we were both speaking at, and it occurred to me that he just might be the hardest working man in show business. So I'm glad to be able to give him a few weeks off from the wake-up call. You know how hard it is to do something every day, forever? So I hope these few weeks when I'm filling in will give him some space to plan out what he wants to bring us next. Lord, thank you for taking us out of Egypt. Now, Lord, please take Egypt out of us. Let's go. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So we pray. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you, praying in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading for the day is Exodus 22:18-24. Hear now the word of the Lord. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. Whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. The word of the Lord. Have you ever tried to read through the Bible? You move along pretty well through Genesis and the first half of Exodus, and then all of a sudden, you are brought up short by the weird laws and strange details that occur in that second half of Exodus. What do we do with these things? Can I tell you something? The Old Testament laws actually make me love God more, and I want to tell you why. In the weeks leading up to Lent, I'm doing a little mini-series on Exodus called How God Gets Egypt Out of Us. Let me explain. In my church, we're calling 2026 the year through the Bible, and all of us at Asbury Church are using the one-year Bible as we work through the Bible together. We are currently midway through Exodus, and so I thought it would be good to offer a series of reflections from that reading. As we will see today, we are not in the part of the Bible that most Christians find helpful or meaningful, and that's exactly why I wanted to write about it. I think all of the Bible has something to say to us if we are willing to hear it. Over the next few days, we'll be looking at the laws and regulations that make up so much of the second half of Exodus. I expect these are not your favorite passages, but I think they're beautiful, and I can't wait to talk about them with you. The first part of Exodus is about God getting the people out of Egypt. The second part of Exodus, however, is perhaps even more important. It's God getting Egypt out of the people. As we shall see, the lessons and the laws are there to teach the people about God's way of righteousness and to form them to carry on that way to the nations. All of what we believe about right and wrong and morality comes from the Bible. But at some point, Israel had to be instructed about morality. And that's what's happening in Exodus, as God first gets the people out of Egypt and then instructs them as to the right way to live. This means that the laws in Exodus teach us about what matters to God. In general, we see two main categories in this section of Exodus. First category, keeping people away from serious sin and error. Second category, protecting the vulnerable. In the first category, we have verses 18 to 20, those weird ones I read at the beginning. You shall not permit a sorceress to live, verse 18. Verse 19, whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death. Verse 20, whoever sacrifices to any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. These actions are so destructive to the community that those who take them face the ultimate punishment, death. That's why those laws are there. In the second category, see verses 21 to 24. You shall not wrong a sojourner or oppress him, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat any widow or fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. Well, God is instructing the people of Israel that all people are valuable to him, even the poor and the weak. This is a moral revolution that God is giving his people. With just this short passage, you can learn a lot about God's heart for humanity and what a good life ought to look like. All this to say, the laws in Exodus tell us what should matter to us. We should care desperately about the weak and the poor and should seek to be a society in which justice is available for everyone. At the same time, we should seek to be a society that instructs its members on what sorts of behaviors would make human life impossible. And all of this is what God cares about. This is what the Lord is like, and his laws reflect his heart. And to see his heart for humanity revealed, to keep us away from serious error, to care for the vulnerable, makes me love God all the more, and I'm grateful. So, Lord, let your will be done and your kingdom come here. We pray for America. Help our laws to reflect your values, Lord. Help us to be a just nation and a wise nation. Keep us from the sins that lead to death, Lord, and bring about spiritual awakening in our land. Lead us not into temptation today, Lord, and keep us far from the ways that lead to death. All this we ask through Jesus' name. Amen. Some journal prompts. Which of the laws in today's reading is most needed in our society today? Are you more uncomfortable by the laws about the poor and the weak, or the laws about behaviors that lead to death? Why? Have you ever thanked God for the Old Testament laws that undergird our modern conceptions of right and wrong? So I know that these Old Testament laws can kind of be really off-putting and strange, but when you see the heart behind them, I think they're actually really beautiful, and I hope that they inform your faith and love for God and your discipleship walk today as well. Today, we will sing God of Grace and God of Glory, a great hymn, hymn 45 from the Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. I love this hymn. I love the melody. It kind of gets you going. It's like better than caffeine. Goes like this. Let's sing it together. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thine ancient church's story. Bring her bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this hour. Verse 2. Lo, the hosts of evil round us scorn thy Christ, assail his ways. Fears and doubts too long have bound us, free our hearts to faith and praise. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days, for the living of these days. Amen. Well, for the awakening, I'm Andrew Forrest, and I'll see you on the field.